This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Honestly, I really think like Major League Baseball should examine the Rockies, should take do some sort of forensic accounting as to what the hell is going on there.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
And do the same thing in Chicago. Look at the White Sox the same way.
So many disappointments, so many cases that gone unsolved that you couldn't do anything with.
Because you shouldn't allow people to put out teams that don't have a chance of winning.
The fact that you finished second or third or fourth doesn't mean you had a bad year.
Yeah.
And under the guise of a rebuild, just trading money, whatever the
I'm
hell
I'm not sure what
doing.
They're doing in Colorado.
I'm not
but
sure
it's
what
unhealthy.
They're doing on the South Side.
Yeah,
and
I think that's also true.
That's also unhealthy.
We know what they're trying to do in the South Side. It's just they're not able to execute
no.
it.
No.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. They're inching ever closer on the South Side. But I don't know what that Colorado team is up to, Mr. David.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Well, we know they're up to losing a lot. It's at a record pace. And thank goodness they were the opponent this week for the Cubs.
I got to tell you, I'm going to say it. Dustin's going to get mad.
Say it.
You're going to give me a dirty
no,
look.
No, I'm not.
Weak sweep. That's a weak sweep.
Whoa.
I mean, they swept them and they beat them.
See?
But every game, you were kind of like, well, are you going to win this game or not?
All right, that deserves a dirty look.
2-0.
That deserves a dirty look.
Why aren't you up 6-0? Why are you only winning 2-1?
2-1.
Why do you only get 4 hits in the first game?
Tough one.
What are you doing going late in the second game?
Fair question.
I'm telling you, for as handily as they handled that team, When you look at the records, they don't belong in the same conversation.
Let me try to counter that.
Why was that such a weak sweep?
Well, because of a couple reasons, I think. Because
weak.
It was not as impressive. You could make the argument the Sox lost the series against the Mets 2 out of 3 after winning yesterday. The Cubs sweep the Rockies, and the Sox maybe felt more complete. It felt like they had more complete games in losses than the Cubs might have in wins. Fair enough. That's a good point by you. But
I made that point. That's your point. I said weak sweep.
Well, I'm trying to say that there was a weak sweep, even though you won 3 in a row, and now you're up to a 4-game winning streak. You're in first place in your high water mark.
14 over.
You're 14 over. You're 56 games in. You're a third of the way through the season, at least. But, Mully, they won games where you could have had a letdown, a natural letdown. The Rockies are historically bad. They come into your ballpark. It's a weekday, weeknight series. There are a lot of reasons that are built-in excuses that you could justify why they might have a letdown. They won anyway.
I understand all that. All I'm saying is that they are 14 games over 500, and they're playing a team that hasn't won 10 games yet.
I know.
They haven't won 10
single
games.
Single digits in the victory column. And
it's,
single.
But it's just weird that they're not – that like, they weren't dominant. I thought the pitching was pretty good. I'm not like, dissing them. I just don't know why I'm staying up waiting for this thing to be put to bed. Put it to bed so I can go to bed.
Well, that may explain why you're a little bit unhappy with them not being more dominant. But I do think that, as you would say, when you know that you're not clicking on all cylinders necessarily, and your offense that we keep raving about and setting all sorts of records manages a meager 2 runs, and you get a sweep, a weak sweep even, if I want to agree with you, as you would say, you take it and you run like a thief in the night.
I'm all over that. All that matters is they won. I'm just saying, if we're giving out style points, it was not a stylish victory in that series.
This was a bottom line week.
Yes.
This was a bottom line series. And today, they take a deep breath. They take the day off. They get ready for the Reds coming to town. The Reds coming to town after you took 2 out of 3 from them in Cincinnati. They're not going to be happy. They are going to want to get that series back. They're talented, as we know. Terry Francona has Bruce booked him yet for Saturday morning. And I think that they're going to be a challenge.
I think if you could put the fork in them if you just win games you're supposed to win. I think you can sweep these guys too, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I don't know the way they're playing. I'm just saying, let's have a little sense of greediness.
Well,
let's get a little greedy in our hearts.
But let's look at what they've done in the month of May. They have been greedy.
Yep.
They have been aggressive. They have asserted themselves as the team to be in the National League Central and one of the best teams in the National League. So I understand the complaint or the grievance that you're filing.
Yes.
But I also think that over the course of a 162-game season, you're going to have lulls.
Well,
and if you can win through some of those lulls, you're going to be better off, and that's how you get to the playoffs.
But it felt like, and maybe I'm wrong, and feel free, Dustin, I'm welcoming you to come at me and tell me I'm wrong. It felt like they were doing kind of the bare minimum. It didn't feel like they wanted to just put them away. I've seen them put teams away, and they didn't do that in this series, and I don't think that's good. I like it when you put teams away.
I'd quibble, but I want Dustin to weigh in.
I wanted more from them in the top of the first inning as an example. So they had something going until they didn't have something going.
Right.
Pete Crow Armstrong hits the solo home run after a miserable night for him, at least, an 0-for-5 the day before. Were they maybe bored a little bit? I don't
yes.
think you – maybe that's what it was.
Yes.
Was that the best – did you get the best of the Rockies, even as bad as they are? Were the Rockies playing as if this was their
– of course.
Playoff.
Were
the Rockies more energized by the crowd? They were getting 30,000 a night the last couple nights, not 40,000. Cubs like to play in front of 40,000. The Rockies are happy to play in front of 10,000, so maybe they were a little bit more juice. But I think – But I
you
think
need more.
I don't disagree, but I think yesterday I was the only one that was saying it was a must sweep.
Well, I think you're right, because here's why I would quibble a little bit with what you're saying about the Cubs' approach. Craig Counsell filled out a lineup card like it was game one of the NLDS. This was their A lineup. This was their October batting order. This was what you're the best of the Cubs in game three of a series. You didn't need to sweep, but it was nice to get one.
And you wanted to give everyone the day off, as I recall.
I did. And I'll explain why. Not necessarily. It's a good thing they didn't listen to me, as Dustin nicely pointed out to during our little meeting before the show. It's a good thing that Craig Counsell's Odyssey app went out during the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he didn't listen to you, or else he would have rested PCA. Yeah, I know he hit a homer. Here's all I was saying about PCA. They've played 56 games. He's missed an inning and a third all season long. So, Dustin, when September rolls around, and if PCA is struggling at the plate because he looks tired, like Dansby Swanson did once upon a time that season where he collapsed in September and folded down the stretch, I will remind you of this day. And you can re-celebrate the Rocky sweep.
You can put it in your back pocket. But again, it's all about, like, today. How does one – and I think you guys feel this too with our goofy schedules that we have.
Yes.
How does one take, like, the day off today? You know, does PCA have, like, a cheat day food-wise? Does he lay in bed? Does he actually work out? Does he walk around the city? Or does he binge, like, 9 episodes of something on Apple TV? I'm just curious, like, how does a 23-year-old take a day off?
He's so young and he is so vibrant that I don't know if getting off your feet is as important to him as it might be to somebody, you know, 10 years older or somebody who's a more established veteran. If he's 23, he probably just sleeps in a little bit and
right. He
does a normal day with a little bit of a workout because you want to break a sweat.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a mental break as much as a physical break.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a day. It's not like it's a week, Dustin. If the guy wants to sleep in, that's great.
Right. And it's a day game. It's not even a night game on Friday.
Right.
You know, it's a night game. You wake up today, and you know that, like, you've got to be back at the ballpark. What would you do? Those guys get there about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock,
right?
9, 10
yeah.
o'clock. He's probably the PCA. He's probably getting a skateboard and going to the lakefront. You never know,
right?
You can see that. He could be that kid.
Is he a skater? Is he a skateboard guy?
I don't know.
California
I don't know
cool.
I don't know his energy level. You know, there are some people that just are go 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 go. And he looks like a go-go guy. I remember covering a game in Dallas years and years ago. Michael Jordan got up in the morning and played 36. He went for 2 rounds before the game that night. You know why? Because he's a crack of dawn guy.
Yeah.
He's a golf guy, and he was having fun, and just kept going.
Remarkable.
There are people
energy.
With unbelievable energy.
Stamina.
Yes.
All kinds
yes.
of things. And PCA is only 23 years old. David, quit worrying about everything. Not worried about everything. And this is could be a moot point, and he is a rare breed. But well, I suggested a day off, and he did get one. But good thing he didn't.
He gets one today. I mean, he gets it today.
Good thing he didn't, because he hit that home run.
Right.
And they squeezed out a sweep, a weak sweep, nonetheless.
I mean, you can say that's an idiot's refrain, and
that's
fine.
Too strong. I'm not calling it idiotic.
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I'm just saying I expect more. And you know what? You want to get more innings off? Get it over with in the first inning. Load up on them, and then everybody can sit back down, and you can enjoy yourself. You don't have to worry about how many innings you're putting in.
We should say this. Matthew Boyd was outstanding again.
He was excellent.
You know, he bounced back his only subpar start, and it wasn't even that bad.
No, it wasn't.
But he's a guy that his consistency, you got to give Jed Hoyer credit for bringing him in, Colin Ray in. These guys have been godsend.
But you shouldn't need that. You shouldn't need that or rely on that. I'm just saying. It was too bad an opponent to not just take advantage of it. And it felt like, and this happens all the time, people play to the level of competition. You can say, Dustin, that they really played well for how bad they are. Or you can say, yeah, you know, we knew we were going to win, so you didn't have to push it. It's just a dangerous position to be in.
Big picture.
When you play down to the level of your
big picture question, though. How do you feel about the Cubs' depth? going into the second half of the season, because these are the kind of things that on days off you wonder if the staff is looking at and feeling like if, as they project out things when they get Shota back, who threw a bullpen yesterday,
yes,
as they look ahead to, well, who's going to need rest to recover on certain things. Is this Cub team deep enough off the bench to feel like that you're going to run away with this?
I, honest to God, feel like they haven't even tapped into their depth. I think they got guys. You know, we saw Ballesteros for like a week, and he knew coming up it was a week, and they knew coming up it was a week. Guess what? His numbers, when you break them down, he had a really strong week. He didn't do anything. He's not. That's a guy that you could come up that can help you at any time. You still have a couple of outfielders down in the minors that are of great value if you want to trade for something.
Right.
Or you could bring them up and give them a week,
yeah,
and they might be able to help carry a.
Fair enough.
If everyone starts burning out. I just think they've got, like, legitimate depth. I understand the concerns about the you know, you rather guys that have been there and done it in the back of the baseball. I get all that stuff. And I understand the pitching thing. You know, I'm not worried about if PCA is going to be burnt out in September, but I do worry about some of the pitching.
Yeah, I think the pitching is the right place to play, put any kind of concerns, because Daniel Palencia, good last night, really stepping forward with the back of the, you know, back into the bullpen in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
He's the guy that looks pretty good. But my biggest takeaway from this series and this week is not necessarily the Cubs are playing down to the competition. You'd like it to be better, but it's more that, boy, this has been a terrific month. This is the Cubs hitting their stride. And I know it's a bad team, and they did the minimum they had to do. But, boy, is this going to be a fun summer. We're not even in June, and you got 4 months, June, July, August, September. And that could be tons of fun.
It doesn't feel like we're even in summer, frankly.
I know.
The weather has not yet cooperated.
No, it does feel like football weather.
That's going to come, and that's going to come soon. Yesterday was football day. Yes, it was.
Yes, as we pivot to Halas Hall.
Big day.
Finally, we heard from Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I don't get that one at all. I don't understand why you couldn't just get that over with a week ago. And I mean,
I don't think that was on him, though.
I know. No, I'm talking about the Bears.
Yeah.
I think it's on them. I think they should have just gotten it out of the way. I think it's much ado about nothing, quite frankly, Mr. Shakespeare. I don't think that there's any legs to any of this stuff. I thought he handled it fine. I he came out, he gave a little statement, and then he kind of backed it up. And yeah, it's tough.
He made it a moot point.
Yeah.
Made it a moot point because of the way he handled it. Should have been handled 13 days ago.
That's all I'm saying.
And I think, though, when Caleb Williams finally addressed it, he showed awareness, he provided context, and I think he made most of it go away.
And you know what he did? He didn't deny everything. He didn't, like, he nothing to see here, move along. It wasn't like, oh, well, I didn't say it exactly like that. He didn't pick nit. He said, yeah, you know, this happened. Yeah, I was impressed.
You know what's interesting? That's a great point. He has been tell me, because I'm kind of thinking out loud here. Since he has arrived, we've seen him a lot of times explaining things, and he's been challenged by things haven't gone well, and he's had to explain those. I don't recall many times, if at all, him being defensive. I don't think that Caleb Williams has been defensive. I don't think he's taken the mic or gone to the podium with a guy who seems like he's got anything to hide. That transparency, I think, has been something that served him very well.
He's an explosive offensive player. It's not defensive. No, I agree with what you're saying. I think he's a mature kid. I thought he handled that very well. I don't think he needed a week to figure out what to say. I thought he had it all down, and he did a very good job of it. And it was, like I say, it was one of those things where, you know, once you got the context that he offered, I don't think there was, as we've talked about, If you look at the teams that were choosing in the draft, that were looking for quarterbacks in the draft, there was one that was an offensive team with an offensive guy running it, and so he really liked that guy. They connected. That doesn't surprise anybody, does it?
No. So you're coming out of college. You're the top quarterback available. You're going to be one of one, and the Vikings are one of the teams evaluating you. Of course you're going to be enamored with the idea of playing for one of the best play callers in football, as opposed to a place where quarterbacks go to die, according to Dad. Yep. So none of this.
I like the way he supported his dad, too.
I do, too.
I thought he didn't blame his old man.
He didn't throw his dad under the bus.
Not at all.
He explained what everybody who has a kid can relate to. It's just that dads will do things for their sons or try to put them in the best position possible. I don't even feel that. I don't even feel any sort of I understand Carl Williams' perspective in this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's somebody who's definitely different in terms of personality maybe than his son and wants the best for his kid and tried to do that. So good for him. Caleb Williams will be evaluated by what he does on the field. And yesterday, depending on who you talk to, he was more impressive at the podium than he was on the field. And that may be something worth talking about.
Right, right. He threw a couple of picks during practice. I think what's interesting to me, though, if you really want to talk about this and get into it, when the head coach said that they went over tape together and he pointed out some body language issues, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't want them to be a palms up team. He thinks that's a sign of weakness. I thought that was interesting. You don't want this going on, and you don't want that going on. And you know, there was a bad moment where he got to the sidelines and it kind of collapsed one time. I'm just saying.
You can't do that.
No.
No, I have a PhD in body language.
And it's,
I have always believed.
You studied under Biggs.
Definitely. I studied under Biggs. And I remember the age of Cutler. And these are the kinds of things that would come up.
Yes.
Because Jay Cutler was somebody whose body language screamed, get me out of here.
Yes.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to play with you. I don't want to do this.
Yes. So that
it matters.
That was interesting that the coach felt the need to go over that with him.
How did you feel about that?
I think it's a good thing to go over with him. I think it's fine. I got no problem with seeing something and making sure you address that and nip that in the bud immediately.
It's not something like you worry about if, say, Darnell Wright or Cole Kmet or Montez Sweat is a palms up guy. You talk to him and maybe you'll be concerned and it's a one-time thing. But if your quarterback consistently has you know, histrionics on the sideline or is hanging his head, you have to address that and you have to worry about that more because he is the leader of your football team. And in this case, he's a young leader trying to figure out how to deal with adversity. So Ben Johnson, I thought those are two separate issues, but they're both very important.
I just thought it was one thing that was really important to point out. That's all.
It's as important as his footwork, as his, you know, getting used to being taking the snap behind center.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams has to be, and we'll talk to Clay Harbor at 9 o'clock, looking forward to that. Clay described it as a head up, shoulders back type of guy after mistakes, after things go poorly. That's the way that football coaches tell players to act. And Caleb Williams, probably in that degree, has a lot of growth to make because he's still a young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the danger with quarterbacks in particular is your body language would tend to signify who you blame for something going wrong. Like if you look at a guy after you got sacked, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying. It is something that you've got to – and I don't know that this is any breaking news to Caleb Williams – but the camera's always on him. His reaction is always looked at. Well, everything he does is going to be scrutinized, and you're going to hear about it.
If somebody drops a pass.
Yes.
And he shakes his head like, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
my gosh. That's a little Aaron Rodgers. Think of Aaron Rodgers.
That's a great
example.
He's
the guy who you know when he's not happy with the route his receiver ran.
Well, it's more like, David, if you think of Aaron Rodgers, you know it's never his fault.
No, it's never his fault.
Because he will
But you don't want to be that guy.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You don't
want
to be that guy. You want to be the you want to be the rah-rah guy. Yes. You want to be the guy that's okay, I'm picking you up after you did
that's
something
exactly
that
right.
You couldn't you didn't get it done.
Yeah. But
the energy guy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I like what we are kind of witnessing at this point, because even if he's making mistakes on the field, well, those are teachable moments. That's
I like
what you want. You want that mistake coming now. You don't want two interceptions in a game.
No, and I like that Ben Johnson is being open about what he's addressing with his young quarterback.
I agree.
That's also something not to take for granted, because a lot of guys wouldn't be as transparent and forthcoming with that kind of detail.
It's good. The detail's good.
The detail's excellent. So yep. The Bears were back at house. Saw some other things happen with their OTA that we'll talk about during the pick six. The White Sox beat the Mets. The Cubs sweep the Rockies.
We got half an NBA final.
We got half a final.
We got half an NHL final.
Yeah, we do. The Florida Panthers are a machine.
Yeah.
They are a machine. Third straight Stanley Cup final they are going to be competing in.
Pretty good.
It is pretty good. It's something that the Blackhawks of the heyday here never did.
Yeah.
They won 3 times in 5 years, but they didn't go to three back-to-back-to-back NHL Stanley Cup finals.
Difficult thing to do in any sport.
It is.
No question. And of course, OKC back for their second NBA finals. That was the Durant group.
Remember that 2012
isn't that unbelievable?
Against
and
the Miami Heat.
Didn't you think they might be able to go back to back to back?
Yes, with all that
wild.
Talent.
Yeah, pretty
Sam
wild.
Presti has drafted 4 MVPs.
He also has like 70 more draft picks.
Still,
he's collected so many draft
picks. He's going to package 58 of them for Giannis.
Yeah, it's like the easiest thing out there. Pretty impressive stuff. So. And we'll find out tonight if indeed the Pacers can stamp their ticket. They've got the
back
next
at the Garden.
It could be a difficult game. Could be an easy game. It's
Tibbs might even go 7 deep in his rotation.
Oh boy, Tibbs is catching it. All right, we got all of it. We're going to pick it apart. We've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of Caleb Williams' news conference on Wednesday? Did he clear up all issues or leave you with more questions? Did he put it in context in any way? Do you believe he's ready to move forward and change the narrative?
Yeah, I thought he handled it great. I had no problem with how you came out of that one. I didn't think it was going to be that big an issue to begin with. I didn't think it was a big deal. That like anybody, he wouldn't want to come here if you want to be a quarterback in the NFL. Tell me, you know, if you want to be a middle linebacker, running back, yeah, you want to go to Chicago. But he's going to be the first. He's back to who holds some of the records here? It's crazy. But some of the all-time passing records in Chicago held by a World War II-era quarterback.
And Sid Luckman.
Eric Kramer has some, and of course Cutler, but yeah, I mean, we've never had a 4,000 yard passer in Chicago, and didn't he mention that? So I get it, right? I think I understand what he's saying. I thought he did a really good job. I thought he kept it in perspective, and I thought that the very fact that he didn't just deny everything, he just handled it, told the truth, and yeah, okay. I may have felt that way, but once I came here, I felt differently, and I love being the Bear. It's great. Good to hear.
Good to hear. Wish we would have heard it a week ago, so we wouldn't have been asking them. And then why not just say he's going to speak on this day? That would have also tampered it. And then to say that we probably wouldn't hear from him until June,
right,
when we got to the mandatory mini camp that's going to happen like mid-June, like around the 10th or 12th, something like that. Doesn't matter exactly when it's going to happen. It's going to happen in June. I wish it would have been more 50-50 about this because it had to be put to rest. And he obviously clearly wanted to put it to rest. But I would have wanted more. We got some, but I would have wanted more about what he's been off to this offseason, the relationship building, you know, sitting down. We did get some him and Ben Johnson sitting down and watching tape together stuff. I just wanted more about the now. But I'm glad it got referenced because, again, not to take a bit of a bow or whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, I got a lot of crap, for lack of a better term, for supporting some of these ideas that he didn't want to come here, that he may not come here. You know, the outrageous things that him and his father might have been asking for. And there was definitely smoke. And as Mully, you put it in the beginning of the show today, he didn't try to sidestep. He said, yep, 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 yep. And why wouldn't I think that way?
He came prepared in a 4.5 minute opening statement. I think he started sounding a little bit nervous, but then he hit his stride, and he is a very polished speaker, as we know from his rookie season. He did what you want your franchise quarterback to do. He took ownership of the situation. He provided context for what was lacking, and he showed an awareness that he obviously has about everything, from the accusations about his pre-draft state of mind to the watching film by himself and seeking some counsel and some experience and some shortcuts, if you will. That's what we all thought the Bears were missing last year, though. Let's be honest here. A veteran quarterback to talk to Caleb Williams when he came off the sideline or watch film with him during the week. So those were missing parts of last year's operation. They have not been neglected this offseason. Case Keenum is here. Nice to hear from him yesterday. And I think that his presence in that building will help Caleb Williams mature into a better, more experienced quarterback who will watch film more intelligently. I frankly don't care about his pre-draft mindset any longer. I don't think it matters at all because, as he pointed out yesterday, after all of those reports, after that visit to Minnesota, all of those things, those conversations with Dad, who he handled quite well, that Caleb Williams visited Hallis Hall and committed himself to succeeding here. And in over the past year or so, you can't tell me that he hasn't made a commitment to this community. And you can't tell me that anything that he has done has spoken louder than what he or that hasn't. His actions have spoken louder than his words. And his words really don't matter because they were uttered before the draft. So Caleb Williams, he had a very good day at Hallis Hall yesterday.
That's a great question.
How about Ben Johnson's comments on body language? Did you appreciate him saying he went over that with Caleb Williams? Do you appreciate him making note of details like huddle breaks and body language? What does that tell you about the man?
Body language is a huge thing. Demeanor, we don't want to be a palms-up team where we're questioning every. No. That's a little bit of a sign of weakness, and we don't want to exhibit that from anybody on the team.
Appreciate what you heard from Ben Johnson yesterday.
Finally, a football coach who understands how important it is to act the part and is in lockstep with everyone else who understands that when you're watching a guy shake his head after an incompletion or, as you said, make it obvious that you know who missed the block, no, that's not good for anybody. That's not good leadership. That's bad leadership. That's immaturity. That's unprofessionalism. Ben Johnson saying the quiet part out loud. I love that about him. I love that he is a guy who is a coach who's going to coach those little things. If you care about where Caleb Williams' foot is before the snap and whether he's behind center or shotgun, you should care about body language. It's not making something out of nothing. It matters. And it matters because the head coach says it matters. So this is good that they're addressing it.
Yes, it should be addressed. Also found it interesting reading that they are showing him tape of Matthew Stafford. They're not showing him tape of Jared Goff. I thought that was interesting. Like, they're, you know, Ben Johnson wants to use Matthew Stafford, not only from body language, but from, you know, receiving the ball, from footwork to handling himself. That is the quarterback that they are using as what you should strive to be, Matthew Stafford. So thought that was interesting. And yes, you don't want to be a palms up team.
Boy, you don't want to be a palms up team. And you hate that kind of stuff. I got to tell you, I loved Ben Johnson. I loved that we played that because, to me, the best part of it was the no. Like, that is not on. We're not doing that. And I got to tell you, it's high time someone came in here and just told people, hey, no, we're not going to blame the coaches and come out and say we got to get coached better. We're not going to, you know, we're going to be a disciplined football team that pays attention to little things and does the right things and doesn't mouth excuses around here. That's kind of what I heard. I love that because I found the Bears very unlikable while they were losing a year ago. I didn't feel like they handled it very well. I know what went wrong. I was here. I watched how the coach was coaching and how the offensive guy, the coordinator, was coaching. I mean, I saw what happened, and it was horrible. But it was equally horrible getting free rein to kind of moan about it. So everyone clam up, start playing better football, and be disciplined about what you're doing. This guy, attention to detail, all that matters.
That's a good question.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell was asked by the afternoon show how he felt about his team at the Memorial Day mile marker in the season.
You know, like you said, we're 13 games above 500. That's a good record. So I think we've played really well the first 2 months and earned a pretty good record.
Should Council enjoy the ride more, or is the demeanor what you want from your skipper?
I mean, you know, I'm sure the boys were heartily disappointed that he's not really cooperative with the you know, grab arse games, but he isn't. That's him. That's who he is. That's how he feels. That's what he's telling you about his team. And you know what? That's why they're good. That's why he's good at his job. And that's kind of, he's not a guy that's doing a lot of grab arse. He's more a guy that is kind of evaluating where they're at. Yeah, here we are, and we got to keep it going. And I think he's really good at what he does, and I like that. And I like the kind of seriousness of it. He will joke around. I've heard him joke around about the Pope not getting into Notre Dame and all that stuff. So I don't think he's humorless, but I think that, you know, you ask a question of a guy, he's going to give you a serious answer. He's a serious person. And, you know, I get it. It's not as much fun as it could be, but that's okay because the results on the field are excellent.
I mean, the facts are the facts. They're 13 games over. Maybe they were 12 at the time of the interview. So they're playing good baseball. But unless you say to him, is this enough, maybe? You know, he's answering the question that was asked. They're playing good baseball. Is he supposed to enjoy it more? I think he's supposed to enjoy it like I'm supposed to enjoy it. And I don't even feel like I'm enjoying it as much as I should be enjoying it.
I think so, too. I think you're right about that.
I'm enjoying it, but not as much as I feel like I should be.
You should be enjoying it more.
You don't enjoy anything.
I mean, it's kind of joyless. You have to really enjoy this start, Dustin. Just sit back and relax.
I will tell you, and I did not enjoy the Cubs' run to the World Series until the parade, because all the joy was sucked right out of it.
I think it's an interesting study in just different styles of managers and leaders. And we talked yesterday about how guys in different sports take different approaches. Joe Maddon, for instance, you mentioned 2016. I think you felt like every time that he talked publicly, privately, he was having the time of his life. With Craig Council, it's not that he isn't enjoying this. It's that he's not going to let you see him smile much or laugh, and kind of he's not going to change his demeanor. They could be 13 games below and 13 games above, and I think he might be the same guy. I don't think he's going to be a guy that hangs his head if the Cubs encounter some struggles. It's going to be more difficult, and maybe he'll be maybe a little crankier, but it would be hard for him to be more serious because he is – he's pretty stoic. I appreciate the fact that when he is asked questions, whether it's on the afternoon show or in the dugout, he pauses, he thinks about it, and the thoughtful answers. So I don't have a problem with him being consistent with the guy who came here from Milwaukee. This is the same guy he's always been since going back to his playing days, so I can respect that.
That's another really good question.
The White Sox salvaged a game against the Mets, winning 9-4 and continuing to compete against one of the best teams in baseball. What stood out to you yesterday or in the series?
Well, Andrew Benintendi drove in 4 runs yesterday, and that was something. Did not see that one coming. I also think that Miguel Vargas continues to assert himself as the guy who is the hardest out in that lineup. But I just look at the Sox, and they somehow lost 2 out of 3 and left New York having impressed the audience, at least the one back in Chicago. They looked pretty competitive. And our guy Ozzie Guillen was talking to me at CHSN yesterday after the victory and explaining, in as only Ozzie can, and he knows what he's looking at. Everybody understands that, how there are 5 or 6 at-bats that you could point to in the last couple weeks where had they handled those differently, just one came down to like one at-bat, games might have had different outcomes. This is a Sox team that, as bad as the record is, as painful as it can be to watch some innings, they are making incremental progress. And I think that is significant, and you saw that at Citi Field and against one of the better teams in the National League. The Sox were not overmatched. They did lose 2 out of 3, but yesterday was a welcome surprise.
Juan Soto hitless in the series against the Sox. And just his overall struggles. And part of the reason why that stood out is because, obviously, and for good reason, we've talked about the Cubs needing to keep Kyle Tucker around. And of course, I've noticed and we've noticed when he's gone down a little bit, but he has not struggled at any point in the season the way Juan Soto is. And Dan Plesac, who I thought was refreshing on the broadcast, talking about, I've seen him play a lot, talking about Soto and saying, I've never seen him this off balance. He looks like he's going to fall over his feet. And he has that weird, I guess I didn't watch him enough until this year. Like, he has that weird front foot kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine at the end of the year, but it is interesting that he goes through a series and doesn't have a hit against the White Sox. And again, we also talked about, like, why does Andrew Benintendi up and why is Elko down? This is why. Andrew Benintendi's a professional baseball player. He's just not he would be a really good guy on a better team. He's just not a type of guy who's going to carry a team.
No, I agree with you, but he can win a game. He had a two-run single, he had a triple, and he hit a homer. I mean, that's pretty good. A
double shy of the cycle, right? Yeah, I mean, good afternoon.
Pretty good outing.
Right?
You know, what was amazing to me, and I watched the game, but I did not listen to it. So this is going to be a strange thing, but I've watched Shane Smith pitch a lot. That was like about his worst outing, and the reason is because he was walking some guys. He had five walks in that game. I think he only allowed a couple hits, but he exited early. He only went 3 2/3 innings. And the guy that really came in and did a good job, they got an inning and a third from Esert. But Mike Vassell came in. You know, so you start the game with your Rule 5 guy, and then your Rule 5 reliever comes in. He went three innings and struck out five guys.
Against his former team.
Only allowed a couple hits. He looked pretty good to me in that outing, and that helped bail them out quite a bit. You know, they built up a nice lead. It was 5-0, then it's 5-3. Then they kept going, and they ended up scoring 9 runs. And even at the end of the game, they had Miguel Castro got injured at first base. It was just so awkward. What an awkward play. The ball goes, he's covering first, he gets the ball, and he kind of, as he's trying to stab the base with his foot, he looked like he turned an ankle or a knee, and he went down the heap, and he's got to be helped off the field, and you're just
like a Shota. It's a Shota moment.
Oh, my God. Like, what?
Trying to cover first. Bad moment.
Just end the game. Get the game over. You know, come on. You got this game won. But
just end it.
That wasn't good. I watched the whole series, and I thought that they could have won the series. Unfortunately, they don't have a relief pitcher. They're short a relief pitcher, so it's very difficult for them to win close games, and that bit them earlier in that series. But they, as I said to you yesterday when we came in here, it's like they're playing well enough to win. They're just playing the wrong team. You know, the Mets are a little too good to be able to pull off a series win there. And they should have won that series, but they did manage to get the finale, and that was good. That's good for the White Sox.
Okay, next question.
That's obviously the voice of Ozzie Guillen, and he didn't hesitate when asked if Miguel Vargas was the White Sox best player.
Oh, by a lot, yes. Bigger bats. When they most need it, is there. I was the one who criticized the trade. Personal, yes, I did. I did personal. That's why I have a lot of guts to say around people I know hiding from in the bushes. But little by little, this kid starts going better and better. So have fun. And I expect better for him. I expect a lot of great things for him.
Do you agree? How close is it? And does the way Vargas has developed give you hope about the rest of the young Sox players?
You know, Vargas, they gave up a lot in that trade. They gave up Kopech and Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. Let's not forget him.
Oh, wow.
And they got this guy back, and he did nothing last year. And you thought, like, what was that? Why did you give away two pitchers, one who was part of a World Series, and get nothing for it? They didn't have a lot. But that seemed like a really bad trade. And now you move forward, and all of a sudden, this guy's moved his hands. He's playing so much better. He's a significantly better player. And he looks like a prospect. He looks like a guy that was vying to get playing time for the Dodgers, maybe the best team in baseball, even if they're not necessarily playing like it. So I think that it's good that that ended up working out, because it really did. It did, you know, listen, they did a good job with the Crochet trade. I think they might end up winning that. We'll find out. But they look a lot better. I felt like they got fleeced with Kopech, and Fetty was a decent guy to eat innings for you. So I just felt like they'd given up a lot and gotten nothing, and now all of a sudden looks like they got a third baseman. Looks like they've look like that's not a place for a certain Indiana schoolboy to wind up if indeed he can't play shortstop.
You got to mention that every time.
I don't mean to.
You do.
I do think that this is the best player on the White Sox, and I look forward to having this debate maybe in July about whether or not who's the best third baseman in town. Is it Vargas or is it Shaw? Well, and I think it might be, by the time we get to July, it's still May, David, before he jumped down my throat, I think it's still a good debate.
I wasn't going to jump down your throat. I think I was, when you said that, my mind immediately went to, yes, he's a third baseman. Why is he playing first? I don't like that. Of all the ways that the Sox have developed him, and you have a lot of reasons to like him, and I agree with Ozzie, he's the best player right now. But I don't like him moving to first base. Let him play third base. Let him challenge Matt Shaw.
I think by then he'll be moved.
Okay.
I would.
You think Big Timber's coming back?
If they're doing the right thing over there, and I think they are. I think they're going in the right direction. They're smart over there. They're smarter than they were. That they're just doing it now because they needed to get the Palatine Pounder back up here. They're going to trade. They're going to trade. Somebody will get traded by that point.
Well, I hope you're right, because I hope it's a debate by the end of the year. And I know Colson Montgomery is probably going to stay at AAA, and I don't think he's ready for the majors. And he probably won't be this season, if ever. But Miguel Vargas, Kyle Teal, Edgar Caro, Chase Myedroth, Corey Lee. I hope it's a good debate by the end of this season which White Sox prospect, young player, has made the most progress this year and put themselves in a position to be a regular contributor, a all-star caliber player at one point in time as the White Sox continue to ascend or grow, because you want to have that kind of competition. You want to have those kinds of prospects develop on your watch. I'm waiting for the Kyle Teal moment. I think that promotion should be sooner rather than later. Find a place. Yeah, you scored 9 runs yesterday, and you did it without Luis Robert Jr. in the lineup, by the way. Find a place for Kyle Teal in that lineup somewhere, because he has a bat. He's a left-handed power stroke, and you need that compliment to Vargas. Let him bat in front or behind Vargas. Can you imagine Vargas and Teal in the White Sox lineup this summer? They could do some damage. So that's all I meant by my grimace, Dustin, is let Miguel Vargas settle in at third base, bring up Tim Elko, or play Kyle Teal at first base. Do whatever you can to get as many of these prospects some at-bats.
I got one more question.
That is the voice of Charles Barkley. We've got some more Charles Barkley here. He says the face of the NBA is SGA, the Joker, and the Greek Freak. Barkley cautioned the four-letter network about forcing Ant-Man Anthony Edwards on us.
Hey, ESPN, I love you guys. Don't try to make Anthony Edwards the face of the NBA. The face of the NBA is Shea Gildas-Alexander, Joker, and Giannis. You can't give it to people. They have to take it. And Shea Gildas-Alexander is taking it.
Is there anybody Barkley overlooked? Is that an accurate picture of today's NBA?
Well, I think when you factor in age and what LeBron and Steph Curry are no longer, then yeah, I think it's an accurate depiction of the NBA scene right now. I think Shea Gildas-Alexander, SGA, is the MVP, and you were going to see him, some casual sports fans, maybe for the first time in ready for his close-up in the NBA Finals, because I think they could be the NBA champion. And as far as Joker and Giannis, they have been there for a while. I think the message and the intent of that comment and the context of this conversation is that Anthony Edwards, his delayed arrival, he's a star and he is capable of carrying his team, but only so far. And maybe there are some flaws that were exposed in this series, but he didn't lift his team to the NBA Finals. I think that may be, there are a lot of reasons why. may need some help. But yeah, I think that Charles Barkley, it's a good cautionary tale. It's a very compelling comment, and I would definitely agree with him. Those are the three top guys in the league right now. And I do wonder, as we get ready for the NBA draft 4 weeks away, eventually where Cooper Flagg may end up in that conversation and how long it will be before, if he is ever one of those guys.
Yeah, I never jumped on the Ant-Man train, the Anthony Edwards shoved down my throat by the four-letter network. But, I mean, if you're going to have Giannis on this list, doesn't Steph Curry have to still remain on the list? Are we talking about, like, the future of the NBA in its current state? I mean, what about Luka? It pains me to say it, but, again, it is what – I mean, LeBron James is still, like – one of the faces of today's
I should have mentioned Luka.
NBA, but Luka, right? I mean, he's lost a bunch of weight. There's been images of him that he's working hard this offseason.
Is it AI or is it real?
I don't know. Maybe Michael Finley's following around taking beers away. You know, pride of Maywood, local guy made good, Michael Finley.
You know, I get all the problems and the reason that no one would mention him, but Ja Morant is 24 years old. He's 24 years old. I get it. You can point to your head and say he's a head case. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that was a guy that was in this conversation. You know, another guy who was in this conversation, who should be in this conversation, is Jason Tatum. He's 24 years old or 26 years old or something. He's still a young guy, and he's already won a title. And if he doesn't get hurt, they're probably in the title this year. They might be going for two. So I don't know how he got scratched out. I guess he's going to miss another year after this one. So take a pen, run a line through his name. I personally, like Paolo Banchero, if the Bulls had that guy on their team, we'd have a completely different conversation about the Bulls. That guy was a number one overall pick that everybody seems to have forgotten about completely. That guy's a seriously good NBA player. And he's 21 years old. I mean, there's nothing but future in front of him.
How old is Cade Cunningham?
Cade Cunningham's a young guy. You know, I mean, that's fair. I think the guys I wrote down, is Wemby the blood disease? Do we now just think that Wemby can't play? Is that, have we decided that, Dustin? No Wemby ever again. Okay. No, I think that's a guy, like I said, Tatum should be in the conversation because he should be in this upcoming finals, quite frankly. And I think that the NBA is in pretty decent hands.
Yeah, I think those are good names. Yeah, Wembanyama kind of fell off in terms of our consciousness just because of maybe the injury concerns or the condition.
Is he 20? I mean, he's a really young dude.
Could be a teenager.
Is he still a teen? Wow.
I'm not sure, but that's a good one because people forget about how young he is. I never really occurred to me Ja Morant just because of maybe some of the issues surrounding.
And you know what? I understand, and I'm not arguing, but he's still a very young guy. That's all I'm saying. And is he immature? Yeah. Has he run into a world of trouble? You know it. But can he play? Pretty good player.
Victor Wembanyama was born. Let's find out when he was born. He is 21 years old.
Okay.
He's a grizzled veteran of 21, entering his third season.
And he's I believe he's on the tall side.
But he is very tall. He's listed at 7'3", but he only played in 46 games last year. And I think when he does that and misses almost a half a season, you start to hopefully, or you worry a little bit.
Scratch his name out. Jason Tatum, who's he?
Who? I forgot how to spell his name.
I think there's a U in there somewhere. All right. We've got the extra point next. We'll get to it. Mully and Haw on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What's the bigger story from the OTA yesterday? Soft tissue injury for Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards, or the fact the rookie offensive line took all the snaps at left tackle yesterday?
Well, I think that when you look at the soft tissue injuries, I'm not going to get too worked up. It is May 28th as they took the practice field yesterday. And you don't want that to be the case, but I do think that when you consider how far it is until training camp, yeah, you'd like them to be on the field. And TJ Edwards has to get a good look at the middle linebacker position, hopefully to play it more regularly. But to me, I thought hearing of Ozzie Tripillo lining up at left tackle, looking pretty representative at that position. And we'll talk to Clay Harbor at 9 o'clock. He was out there and he was really impressed with his footwork, with his approach, with his technique. I discounted the realistic possibility of him coming in and learning a new position at the NFL level. He was a right tackle at Boston College and he's being tried on the left side. I'm going to keep an open mind, as you try to do with all these kinds of positional changes or adjustments. But then you start to think, boy, if he could play left tackle as a second-round draft pick, or at least compete with Braxton Jones, maybe make Braxton Jones better as a result. Braxton Jones coming back from the surgery and the injury. But I do think that's why it's a more significant development to me with Ozzie Trapillo at left tackle, getting a look at that position as a starter. Ben Johnson talking about the musical chairs element of the trial and error there. The fact that he's in the mix to me says, yeah, the Bears might have something there. The other things I think will take care of themselves.
Well, if I'm limited to these two things, then I will say without a shadow of a doubt, it's Ozzie playing left tackle with the ones yesterday. But I do think that the biggest thing, and it's something that I've been wondering about for quite some time, is the return of Jaquan Brisker. He was back out there. He's running around with his teammates. And from the reports, and I'll be curious to hear what Clay has to say about this at 9, if we get there, is that his presence is definitely noticed by those observing that he is back out there. So to me, that's the biggest storyline. Now, I know, again, the biggest thing will be when he actually hits somebody with a concussion, but the fact that he's out there with his teammates and is making a noticeable difference to the defense is, to me, the biggest news.
I think Ozzie Trapillo is the biggest. I don't know about news, but he's just a giant of a man. This guy is huge. I thought one of the bigger stories, and that's why I'm qualifying this, I thought Kieran Amagaji playing left tackle the first time the media was allowed to look was very curious to
Yeah.
me. And guess what?
It's a good word for it.
That didn't last very long, did it? So I don't know. I don't know if that's an ongoing thing. And when you even spoke of it, David, you said if he can push Braxton Jones. So I think that's interesting because I don't know how these guys line up. I don't know how to feel about it. I also don't know what's going on with the quarterbacks. I don't know if there really is an open competition for the backup quarterback now, something that the coach mentioned. If we're looking at things, you know, you're always interested in what happens with quarterbacks. So But I think Ozzie Trapillo is the one that interests me most. Just the idea of it, just the size of the man and the whole bit.
I thought that one of these options might be Luther Burden III, who missed another practice with soft tissue injuries. Mm-hmm. To me, I would put that almost a more concern, if I'm rating these concerns, than two guys who have proven themselves to the point where the contract extensions have come
right.
for T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon. Luther Burden III, after rookie minicamp, we haven't seen him again.
No, that's interesting.
And I do think we have to always remember what month it is and how cautious these
exactly.
teams will be with talent and with their players. But at the same time, as a rookie, an explosive player, you'd like to see him develop a chemistry and rapport with his quarterback, and this is the time you do that too. So not great.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score. Weak sweep. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. There was a shaking of the head from Mr. Davis.
Did you see that? I'm
Dustin
sorry.
Stormed out of the room.
I'm sorry. I did not.
The Cubs had a sweep of a terrible team, the
yeah.
worst team in baseball, the
yeah.
Colorado Rockies. They've already fired their manager. Mm-hmm. They're so disappointed with how their season's going. But they played the Cubs. They played them 3 games, and they were in those games, and the Cubs won all of them. But, you know, again, I understand it's an idiot's game trying to judge style points.
I don't think that's the right
when
language.
When you're winning games.
I don't think that's the way to put it. I've never called any of your comments idiotic or used the word idiot.
I think I use that myself.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want – but I don't want that to be the rhetoric, because by 9:30 somebody will say, did you hear Hall call Mully an idiot this morning? And they'll forget, and they'll just hear the word because it resonates.
If you did it, it would be lovingly.
It's not – right. It's not an idiotic premise, because I do think people look at the Cubs, and they did – struggle in relative terms to beat the Rockies. They have handled other teams much more easily.
The offense kind of disappeared.
Yeah,
David.
It kind of did. They took a couple days off. But I think the good thing about this
is they won.
They won. PCA hits his 15th home run.
Yeah, that's good.
Daniel Palencia has his fourth save. Matthew Boyd bounces back in a way that was pretty dominant and just workmanlike. He just mowed through the Rockies' order. Matt Shaw, two more hits. This kid, since being called up from AAA on May 20th, is hitting .382. He's 13 for 34. He made another nice play at third base. It's becoming more routine. You're seeing the player the Cubs saw at the minor league levels. And yesterday was good for a variety of reasons. But, yes, it was a little bit more struggle than you would like.
In his first go-round, he had one multi-hit game, and now he's had four since being called back up. That's pretty good.
It's just the approach at the plate is so much more relaxed. His confidence is there. His muscle memory is duplicating the success he's had at every level in the minors since being drafted just two short years ago. He was drafted in 2023, a first rounder out of Maryland, and already he is here contributing to the Cubs in a way that I think is going to allow him to stay here for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, and they did it the right way. They saw something. They didn't like it. They sent them down. They worked on it, and they improved it, and they fixed it, and he's back, and he's being a very he's contributing quite a bit. It's fun to see.
It is, and now they have a day off before the Reds come to town. In a series, they just saw the Reds in Cincinnati and took two out of three there. The Cardinals keep winning. They won again. They're three games back.
What's
division.
What's that about?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's goofy.
I did not anticipate that. I thought the Reds would be hot on the Cubs' heels most of the season. That looks like it might not be the case. I figure the Brewers are going to be, at some point in time, pesky again, just there hanging around. But the Cardinals, I thought, were done. They didn't do much in the offseason of note. And I think they are probably not going to be there all season long. But just as you say that, somebody will point out why they will be. And you want to respect what the start they're off to.
Yeah, we're not even in June. So I think that it's still very early days. But the idea that you're 14 games clear of 500 is a big deal.
Say Suzuki again, quietly. I mentioned all those things that happened. Mm-hmm. And he got the Cubs on the board first with a double driving in mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker, and Seiya Suzuki. He's having a tremendous all-star caliber season among the league leaders in runs batted in, and he's been there all year long. And I think he's responded to – if it wasn't a demotion to designated hitter, but certainly it was the best use of the Cubs' talent by replacing him in right field with Kyle Tucker and having – you know, that defensive outfield, he had to stay. If he was going to stay, he was going to be a DH, and he's adapted well.
And we talked yesterday about the Cubs signing the left-handed Dominican pitcher, Cabrera. He apparently has signed a big league deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me.
Well, because it gives you a third left-hander in the bullpen, which isn't standard.
Or could one of the left-handers not be in the bullpen?
I don't think so, because Pomerantz and Theobar have been both very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Drew Pomerantz, I don't think he's given up a run in years, because he hasn't been in the majors, and I don't think he's given up a run as a Cub. And so it's been literally years, I think, since he's given up a run. But he's been pretty good. Theobar has been steadier, and now you add another left-hander to the mix. And Craig Counsell, when asked about that on the afternoon show, had no comment. Because it wasn't official. And that was just slightly awkward, but he could not answer the question. So, yeah, the Cubs' bullpen is being fortified. Daniel Palencia emerging as maybe the closer with all of his velocity. Because, you know, Porter Hodge going on the IL with another oblique injury isn't good, and you don't know how long he's going to be out. The best news yesterday, if you want to call it a weak sweep, maybe that wasn't it because mm-hmm. of the way they looked. Shota Imanaga threw a bullpen session.
Yes.
And it may be longer than we anticipated. Bruce said yesterday 3 weeks from yesterday. So, but if he's on the way back.
Yeah. And they intimated it would be mid-June. So that gets you a little bit beyond that, but not that much farther.
And the Cubs have improved without him. Those two things are unrelated, but it's nice to miss a guy who had emerged as the ace of your staff.
Yep.
And then you, when he returns, theoretically, you're going to be in better shape than when he left. Now, that's a long 3 weeks because the schedule toughens with this nine-game road trip that they will embark on next week. But they have weathered the storm in May without Shota.
And we've already mentioned that the Cubs are home to the Reds. The White Sox also off today. Why do they have to give both teams the day off? Strange to me. But they are in Baltimore.
They're in Baltimore. They're going in to play the Orioles for three on the road. But that's an Oriole team that has been the most disappointing in baseball. You look at what they have in terms of young talent. It was the model that the Sox were trying to maybe copy or emulate. They got the director of hitting, Ryan Fuller, from that organization. And the Sox going in, if they play as well as they did against the Mets, they have a chance to win the series.
Yeah, I don't think that's overstating it. I don't quite understand what happened with Baltimore. I don't quite understand. I mean, I get it. Like, they had opportunities to do different things and they didn't do them because they felt like they were good enough. But that's a team that really could have jumped in on the crochet sweepstakes and been a big part of that. It's curious to me.
That was the feeling, that they were the best fit. That they were the best fit for the Sox because of the young talent in the system. As it turns out, you made a really interesting prediction that the Sox could win that trade because of how they got 4-for-1, essentially.
Yes.
And we don't want to forget Winkelmann Gonzalez because he's the fourth guy in that. Winkelmann is not to be forgotten, but the other three look to be on the
really
way.
Really good.
They do. And Brady Montgomery continues to do good things in the lower levels. Just to close the loop, the last time Drew Pomerantz gave up an earned run was in the 2021 season. So that has been 5 years since his last earned run. Now, he did not play in 2022. He's had injuries since then. But, you know, why quibble over details? He hasn't given up a run in 5 years.
Yeah, that is curiouser and curiouser, isn't it?
What's curious is that you added a lefty to the bullpen.
Why wouldn't he have been in the major leagues more if he's that good?
Coming back, recovering from surgeries. Yeah. It's been a long road back. And the Cubs are, you know, bullpens are full of guys. We'll talk to Tommy Hotovy at 825. Maybe he has the answer to what has worked and clicked for Drew Pomerantz now, because they have issues. They have injuries. They have a lot of inconsistency in the bullpen, but they also have some good stories down there.
All right. We've got a lot to get to. We're going to get to all of it. We're going to talk it over. I think we'll probably talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears and the stuff that we witnessed yesterday. We'll play you some audio, and we will discuss what is happening with the Bears on their second media day since OTAs have begun.
Caleb's body language is improving and a point of emphasis, and yesterday his verbal language was something to discuss.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.